And welcome everybody over on YouTube, where I seem to have made it okay. Kyle, are you here in YouTube land?
I made it.
All right. Rob?
I made it as well. We seem to be okay.
And Gila, you're there?
Indeed. And welcome to the 24 people who are here with us, too.
And Alex. What happened to Alex? Oh, my God. Not again.
It seems we lost.
There he is. There he is.
There he goes.
Okay. There you are, Alex. How's your connection doing?
I don't know. You tell me. It's a bit spotty.
It sounds fine now. Can you know, without being too intrusive, can we ask, how are you connecting?
Through Wi-Fi.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Wi-Fi sucks sometimes. It really does.
Well, my data connection in London since I've been here has been absolutely horrendous for some reason. I don't understand what's going on. But I'll lose data, and I think it was when I was – I think the Wi-Fi connection did sometimes suck here. I would drop that, and then reverting to whatever my data connection is through the telecom companies here was pretty horrendous. I don't know what happened. I went to – I was in Oxford yesterday and from this morning, and ever since I visited Oxford, it has been – pretty horrible in terms of my data connectivity.
Well, that's sad news to hear, but there are alternatives.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's 2024. I miss the days where we just made phone calls, you know, because we could hear each other, and especially with landlines. Yeah, it costs something, but you know, and this goes for everybody. It's not just us. It's, you know, you're watching somebody being interviewed on CNN. And, you know, it's not a good connection. It sounds terrible. You know, a newscast from the 1950s would have sounded better. I don't know. It's,
easily.
Sometimes it's like we don't finish the technological upgrades that we start out.
I do.
Yeah, you do. You want to get to work on this then?
Because no.
Nobody else is. All right. Any remaining thoughts people want to get out of their systems before we move on to new material and phone calls?
I just have a quick listener question.
A question about, to a listener or a question from a listener?
A question from a listener.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have a chat question. We are asked, and I quote, are y'all ever going to get Club Mate back in the store?
Oh, good question. No, we don't. Okay. And the reason I'm so blunt about that is because we did it. We got it into the country. We did our bit. And one day we realized, you know what? We're magazine publishers. We're not soda distributors. And we're becoming more and more soda distributors. And that's just not who we are. You know, we're good at it. We did a good job. It was fun. I learned a hell of a lot. But I don't want to do that.
It's backbreaking. And we are used to, because moving a lot of paper, that's definitely more of a publisher thing. But we want to stick with paper. Liquids and, you know.
They're heavy. You know, a pallet rolled over my foot once. That was not pleasant.
It's, and it did emerge and get started in the country such that you can find it in places. We were just mentioning at the, there's a Berliner restaurant.
Oh my God.
At the meetings.
At the New York City 2600 meetings, you can buy a Club Mate right there because they've gotten it into a store that's at the meeting location. That's brilliant.
We don't want to get into all the, you know, the timeline of everything, but there are good people that are interested and working on it. And the long and the short of it is a lot of people really have to be into whatever drink is successful. Otherwise, you got to have a lot of money to really distribute it everywhere. And there's, it's so saturated in general, like energy drinks in the U.S. Come on. I mean, big corn syrup is well entrenched. So I don't know. We differentiated, and it is around. It's around the world, which is spectacular. You can go to so many other different places, Canada, many places we've been to. So please seek it out, support it if it interests you, and there will be more of it if you consume it. But it's not something that we want to be like. Responsible for. We got it started. We got people interested.
So. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't really get to go into much of the updates with Hope. We have all kinds of food options that we are working out for on campus this time for the Hope Conference. And we have a bunch of them. And it's possible. I mean, you know, this is something that I could see happening. Maybe we can get whoever is distributing Club Mate now send a bunch over, or maybe even sell it themselves. We can get somebody to take that on and look into the possibility of doing it without burdening us with more soda distribution, we'll be happy to, open it up there. That said, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here. Soda is not good for you. If you drink soda all the time, it's not good for you. And there's a study recently, right?
Okay.
What was the study?
Wait, which is this?
If you drink one soda a week or something, or one soda a day, it's supposed to be bad for you. Y'all look it up.
Yes, there's stuff that has been found out. I think just generally, and water is a fantastic drink if you're at all interested in hydrating yourself. Gila, go ahead.
Really quickly, as a Diet Coke fiend myself, listener, I will say that I hopped on the Club Mate website really quickly. And apparently, Cost Plus World Market carries it nationally. You can order it from them online if you're so inclined. And seeing that you are in Detroit, I will tell you that the World Market in Ann Arbor carries it. There are 4 World Market locations in the state of Michigan. All 4 carry it. Also consider ordering it online. And if anybody has, people are saying Club Mate booth at Hope would rule. Yes, it would. Yeah. Find someone to do it, and that would be great.
Yeah, report back to us on if a lot of that is updated, because we've fielded inquiries. We've looked offhand ourselves and seen as much when we look around. We're excited when people try to get it into different retailers. I know retail itself is difficult, so we had done mail order for a long time, and it's interesting to know what's up to date and what's working, where people are actually finding it. And as far as booth, we still have pallets. We have the ability to move it around. We even have some reusable crates.
We have some of those yellow crates.
We have those.
You know, if people are interested in buying those, that would free up some space for us.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of them. I was going to bring them to some
they're useful.
Like,
they're useful for all kinds of things.
I don't know. Like, I think people that go to camping or like car shows, barbecues, sporting events like tailgate parties, maybe you want one of these crates. But we have a bunch of those. And if it was, we could bring all the soda related infrastructure to manage that. But we would, we would want to find out the best retailer or distributor that maybe could manage it themselves instead of us. They could have a spot like we offer, space for any kind of vendor at the event, and they could be able to offer it to
this
people
is,
there.
This is something we have to make sure it's okay with the university. We have to make sure it's okay with the other food vendors there. And maybe we just have one of the food vendors deal with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't want to get too drawn into that. But if we can make it simple and easy to understand and, people just handle it, then that's something that could, it shouldn't be the main thing that gets you to a conference, though, is drinking soda. So,
and it's going
to
be hot. You need water,
That's true. Water is always good. And
water.
New York City water is better than any water. So that is a fact. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we do have those. Actually, the updates about food have not yet gone out, but yeah, it's very positive. One of the things that we took away from 2022, where people had to walk off campus, not too far, but, across the street and a block over. Those places are still there, obviously, but of course you'd like to have places nearby in the actual place where you're attending the conference, and that's what we're going to have this year. But hotels, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, and it's been torture trying to make connections with the right people, but we finally did, and we have a really super good deal at the nearby Marriott hotels. These are down the block a ways. It's a couple of bus stops away, a direct route that goes directly to the conference from the hotel. If you go to hope.net and click on lodging, you'll see the rates. And they're really good. Compare the rates to what they are normally and what other places are offering. And you'll see, wow, this is a pretty good deal for the period of the conference. And we also have the off-campus dormitory which is even cheaper than that. And that's in a different direction. That's also very easy to get back and forth from. And it's, you know, we likely will have more options coming up in the weeks ahead. We'll announce that, but that's what we have right now. So we can't really say, what about this? What about that? You know, right now, this is what we've worked out. The hotels, two hotels, they're next to the Emerald Pub, which is a great dive bar and a favorite place for people to hang out and trade stories and get reacquainted and things like that. And we have the dormitory, which is just good for, you know, if you're coming in from far away and you just want to stay in a cheap place and spend most of your time at the conference. I couldn't think of a more perfect place than that, because under $100 a night, you get to put your head down someplace and just make your way back and forth. It'll be fun. It'll be an adventure. That's all I got.
Are there any other questions there?
Before we
could open up the
line. We're good. Carry on.
All right. Well, hope.net, that's where you get all the updates on that. And you want to just open up phones? We could do that.
I'm ready to go.
I have other stories, but, you know, I'd rather hear from listeners.
Sure.
Okay, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. Feel free to call. Please keep in mind there's other people that want to call as well. So, you know, 45-minute phone calls don't really help many people. And like to hear what you're up to. Any feedback on things we've discussed, any questions, ideas, experiences. Yeah, and the ringer is on, right, Kyle? Is it on or not?
It wasn't on, but there were no calls. Okay, we would have heard it from a distant handset, but it's now on, and it's going to be very loud when someone does call, so maybe that sweetens the deal a little.
So if you want to make us jump out of our seats, this is your opportunity. 802-321-4225. Does anybody have that toll-free number somebody was mentioning? I think we're having a phone call. I'm picking up
something.
What's the toll-free number?
The toll-free number is 1-833-755-2600.
All right. You can try calling that from overseas, but I don't think it's going to work. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off Talk Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. You know, ByteDance is...
Who's this?
I mean, ByteDance...
I'm sorry. Well, you got to identify. Who is this? Who's on the line? Who's calling? Who's on the line?
A caller ID.
This is an FCC requirement that callers... identify themselves. You don't have to give your real name, just whatever name you're comfortable with, something we can call you.
My name is Bernie S.
No, it's not. And if you're not gonna take this telephone call seriously, we're going to have to terminate it.
Okay.
Do you not like your name, Rebel? Do you not like your name? Because is it wrong for us to call you Rebel? Because that's what you've been known by for almost a century now.
Yeah.
Is that his self-styled name, or was that?
I'm not sure. Maybe we just called him that as you know, an insult. And I'd like to make sure that that's not how his name came to be.
Well, if you'd like to, you know a little history of the Rich the Rebel name. I got it in college.
Rich the Rebel. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Oh, you got it in college. What did you do in college to be called a rebel?
Well, actually, no, because I had when I went to Texas, I got a Confederate flag, and you know, because I just, you know,
so we don't want to hear this.
That's why that's what they call me, and that's, you know, there was some playing with the computers and the phones and the, you know, and like, you know, so that's, I kind of got the handle from that, you know, just like, you know, rebellious of, you know, the rebellious kid, you know, playing with the phones and the computers, and you know.
Okay, it's a sordid etymology,
but aren't we all rebels in our own way? But not that kind of rebel. You know, just, you know, a different, our own unique rebels. All right. Anyway, this rebel here, what's on your mind? And let's make it fast.
Well, okay. I was going to go to a restaurant on Long Island that's now closed. I didn't know this. I looked on Google. But it still has the phone number.
Okay.
So when you call the phone number, it doesn't, remember how you used to go, duh, 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 the number you would reach, 516, whatever, has been disconnected or whatever. Now listen to what happened.
You always are calling places that are closed and expecting to get something from, is this really how you spend your days, calling things that aren't there anymore?
No, I wanted to go to this restaurant that, you know, I wanted to eat at this restaurant, but I didn't know it was closed. I was surprised it was closed, and I the phone number was still there on Google, so I just decided to call it just to see what would happen. And I didn't get doo-doo-doo, the number you have reached whatever, as we're disconnected. Listen to what I get, please. Hold.
You know, he's going to do this, and he's not going to get what he thinks he's going to get, and he's going to say, well, what happened there? And let me try that again. I'll put you on hold, and it's just never going to end. Did I mention the long periods of silence, too, that go along with this?
0055.
Why are you saying the number out loud? You know, normally you make a phone call, it goes through right away. I'm not sure what all this extra time is.
You know, why does it not? Right, you want to hold it?
Every time, Rebel, every time.
Okay, hold on.
Everything I said that was going to happen, happened. Everything.
No, you know what happens? If supervision, I can't do a three-way call on my cell phone because if supervision doesn't kick in, it doesn't let you do three-way.
This is something we've known since the 1980s.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying. Because all right, I'll just demonstrate it verbally. It goes, giggle, 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 giggle. Hello. The number you have reached is... No, I think it says, giggle, 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 giggle.
It does not say that.
I don't know what the, you know what? I wish I could have recorded it or something.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe
know.
Do that. Maybe, it's, yeah.
Something like, no, it's something like, we can help you find a business, another business in the area, since the business you're looking for or you're calling is not available. Please hold on or whatever, and then it connects you with directory assistant, automated directory assistant. I said, what city or something to that effect.
And it makes sense when you think about it. Something goes out of business.
I feel like I'm burning up. I'm going to a more quiet area. Okay, there. The cantaloupes. Yeah, so the businesses that you don't, you know, it's not just the number you've reached has been disconnected. It says, it's like an advertisement.
Exactly, yes. Something goes out of business. You obviously are still interested in whatever you're calling them about. So since they're no longer there, maybe this can help you. Sounds like, you know, a call back to the old days where operators would basically, you know, pass you along to the undertaker that happened to be married to them.
No, no.
And that's how Strago got started.
Yeah, but it would be a recording, say, an intercept recording. The number has whatever has been disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Now it's the same.
Now it's
you
different.
Know, the number you... Yeah, it's an advertiser saying, you know, we can help you find another business in the area because the business you've called is not available. But I don't think it's the business that's doing this because I've called a couple of numbers like this that have been disconnected. Like, I think it's just businesses that do it. I wonder if
I think you should go to that restaurant and just see what happens.
You know what? I just thought of something.
Yeah, chance
the number, you know, when my aunt moved, she disconnected her number and we got the recording. The number you have reached.
You notice a lot of people move and don't tell you their new number?
Hmm.
That does happen. That does happen. Rebel, we're going to have to move on, so make one more point and make it quick.
Yeah, you know, ByteDance is now owned by a Russian company.
Okay.
So TikTok is Russian.
Maybe you want to call Congress and tell them that? Gila, you have something to add to this discourse?
I do. Well, actually, I, weirdly enough, have a listener question for Rebel, so feel compelled to pass it along.
All right, Rebel, you got a question coming. Don't blow it.
Okay.
Rebel, we are asked, how does one subscribe to your YouTube channel in case someone just wants unlimited Rebel?
Go to Richard Conte. Wait a minute. Not Richard Conte. Wait a minute. What is the YouTube channel? Hold on.
Okay. Wow.
How did you subscribe to my YouTube?
I look forward
channel?
To this.
Rebel, is it the account you're signed in on now?
The one that I'm signed in on now.
Because we see the name that you use in the chat. So that is.
Yeah, that's the one that, yeah, you just go to that. Yeah, that's my channel on Google or YouTube. I get some contact
so,
on there.
Gila, what is that?
If
that
you type
name?
On that name, if you click on that name and go to that YouTube channel, that's. My YouTube channel.
I can't believe to do this for you, but
unfortunately, listeners, I can do that because I have fancy mod powers. So, Rebel, is it okay if I go to your channel and drop that in the chat? So, if people want just unedited Rebel into their veins, they could do that. Is that all right?
Okay. Before you do that, why don't you do that first and see what's on my chat? Because I only have one video there that I recorded today.
You want us to check in on your channel now on YouTube?
You do, in fact, have only one video there.
Do you want us to play the video and make sure it's okay?
The one from Grand Central.
Yes. Right, 6 minutes from Grand Central 5 years ago.
Yep.
6 years ago, excuse me. All right. Is that okay to share?
That's okay to share.
Careful now. You don't want to cause a panic.
They have just people just, whatever videos they want to see. I mean, what,
Well, they only have one there, so not much of a choice. But is there a reason we can't say his channel name over the whatever it is we're talking on YouTube?
I mean, we surely can, but because the link is currently hold on. If it were Richard whatever, I would happily say that, but currently it is hold on. Sorry. Oh, my God.
It is? What?
This spreads. This is catching. Hold on. Oh, my God. Rebel, what have you done? Currently, the channel is UC_00L8LTT9SRY2TEMEVOPVW. So it'll just be easier if people click the link I put in the chat.
What the hell are you thinking, Rebel? Why would you have a name like that?
Wait a minute. What? He wants...
Oh, my God. Do you seriously want me to repeat that again?
Don't repeat that. Look, you can click on your own name, can't you?
Wait, no. Did you say PASQUINUCCI?
No, because right now the link for your channel is not personalized because it's brand new and you don't have enough followers.
Oh, I see.
Did you enjoy saying that, Gila?
Yes, can't you tell by my face how exciting that was? See, this
is what people
miss, because
followers.
The only people who get to see us on video are each other.
Well, I just put it up. I mean, you know what I did? I had a YouTube channel, but I was doing something on another site, site, and I was getting ads and spam in my Gmail, so I changed that Gmail account to this new Gmail account, so that's why I changed my Google account.
Ads and spam on Gmail. Imagine that. Oh, you know, by the way, just to step out of this for a second, we sent an announcement out today, and it appears to have met with Gmail's approval. We have not been relegated to spam from what I've heard. And that is definitely
great.
Yeah, it's a celebration all around.
I got it.
Bernie, I'm going to have to ask you to go to a more quiet place because
I don't know what he's talking about now.
Sorry.
Rebel... out of our interest in your well-being, we're going to disconnect now and open up the phone lines to others.
So sorry. So
please be careful and try to avoid going to abandoned places that no longer exist. Mm-hmm. We will talk to you again. Good night. And our phone number, 802-321-4225. And that was just about everything that I could have expected. Alex, how are you doing out there?
I'm hanging in there. I'm, bouncing in and out. My connection isn't great, but...
You sound fine now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's up and down, but I'm doing all right.
When you say something important, I think that's when it breaks up.
It generally does. That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And by the way, this is so it's a little after midnight here in London.
Yeah. It's a little after midnight in London is what we got. Was there more to that?
Unbelievable that this happened again. It was so annoying. But it's one of these weird times when the UK is only 4 hours ahead.
That's right.
Of the United States, right?
Because we went to daylight savings time and you guys did not.
That's right. That's right. We haven't done it. We don't do it here until March 30th, I believe.
And
something like
you
that.
Can blame George W. Bush for that, because George W. Bush extended daylight savings time months or weeks or whatever. He's known
for
that.
One of the many things for which he can be blamed.
Yeah.
Sure.
Definitely not number one. So our phone number 802-321-4225. Please, people, you see what happens if you don't dial fast enough. So call us and we can have a nice conversation about something that. Yes, go ahead.
We did have a couple of listener suggestions that we put a timer on Rebel.
How do you do that?
when he calls, start a timer for 2 minutes, and when it's done, that's the end.
You ever walk four cats down a street in the city at the same time on leashes? It would be like that, and nobody wins. Nobody.
We have like an established rapport.
Is that what that is? Okay.
I just feel like, I mean, even though you said like one last point, it went on for like, it just fragments. Every retort fragments to something else.
I knew what it was.
Fractals?
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to describe it.
802-321-4225. We can have an early night, folks, if nobody wants to call in. That's for sure. We can do that. Country code 1-802-321-4225. Alex, you're gone face-wise, in video, that is. I can't string a sentence together. So maybe that makes your Wi-Fi better when you don't have video.
I mean, quite possibly, right? I mean, the idea being that I would have more bandwidth for my audio if my video wasn't on.
Of course, you turned on the video to say that, so yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe, yeah.
I did. So we'll see. But hey, we have a call.
We do have a call. We do have a call, and I believe that call is connected, and we're going to say good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening. I've just got a question for Hope. Do you have to have attended before to volunteer?
Oh, no.
I would be willing to you know, even pay. I just feel like volunteering might be a good way to, I don't know, acquaint myself with the whole convention.
I'll tell you, volunteering is the best way to acquaint yourself with the entire hacker community, because you just wind up seeing all kinds of cool things, meeting people, helping people. It's what a lot of people do when they go to hacker conferences, is just dive in and become a part of it. So
I've gone to a lot of conferences, but I've never been to Hope, but I've always wanted to go to Hope.
Cool. Well, we look forward to having you.
I've actually worked a few before, but I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I've always been interested in Hope and just wanted to see if you needed to have attended before to be able to pitch in.
No, you know, basically what you should do is email volunteers@hope.net. Tell us what you're interested in doing. Somebody will get back to you, and we'll coordinate things. But it's
I know I'd seen Andrew post about rodents a couple of years ago. Is he still over that?
Probably. I mean, I don't know for sure who is involved in what at this point, but I would not be surprised.
Okay. Well, what was that email address again?
It's volunteers@hope.net. Or you just go to the Hope.net webpage, and you'll see a section that probably describes it better than I'm describing it now. But it's fairly easy to get in touch with us.
All right, cool. Well, I will probably be shooting you all an email. Thanks, man.
Okay, thanks for your interest, and we look forward to seeing you in July.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Take care. Bye. Gila, go ahead.
Speaking of Hope, we have a listener question. People who bought tickets online, are we getting them via mail or email?
You are getting them via email, and it will be a bit more down the road when you actually get them. And let me point out, there are two different kinds of tickets. There are the in-person tickets, and there are the virtual tickets. Now, the virtual tickets are quite important because that's a way of supporting the conference, even if you can't make it to the conference physically. And getting those attendees registered enables us to invest more into the conference so we can do more. Everything is just put right back into it. And that allows us to have a successful event. So please check out the website at hope.net. All the information on tickets is there, all the links. And if you're interested in participating in any way. Rob, did you have something?
Regarding the caller who was asking about volunteering, I can say that I've been volunteering since the very first Hope I went to in 2000. And I've been put to work at the conference every time since, in one way or another. So, yeah, it's a great way to get involved, a great way to meet people. I've made some great friends over the years just from that.
And, you know, when we travel to other conferences, we always try to get involved however we can to help out. Look, Hope would not be possible without volunteer effort. That's just a fact. And when we were doing it in Midtown Manhattan, it was, you know, defying all the odds to even have it there in the first place. But the fact that we are able to do this, is our 15th conference now, it's because of volunteers. It's because, you know, we don't go the corporate route, because that's how you spend $1,000 for attendees per conference. You know, they're everywhere. These big corporate security conferences cost a fortune, and they're not nearly as interesting as what we do at Hope. So we get there by people volunteering on every level, and nobody gets paid. Nobody gets paid to do Hope, except for the vendors, the people who sell us equipment or rent us equipment or the venue or things like that. But nobody organizing it is. It all goes right back into the conference.
And we understand it's really kind of counterintuitive to how most people are gainfully employed or how they operate in this system, especially in the U.S. Mm-hmm. We tend not to move unless incentivized. And we really hope that the camaraderie, the proximity to people that you're meeting for the first time that are also working on the event, we hope that is a incentive enough to be a part of the team, to make something really special happen for other hackers who may also be attending for the first time. Mm-hmm. And they'll benefit from whatever kind of, technical thing you bring to it, or just extra pair of hands. It is so incredibly appreciated. And I'm saying specifically because very often you kind of have to pay at every turn to produce a show as good as what Hope has been. So we really, really value people that are excited, motivated, enthusiastic, and want to work kind of side by side with other hackers.
Yeah, it's hacker ingenuity that gets us through all of this, figuring out a way to do something when everyone else tells you it's impossible, or that you're not doing it right, or that this is how everybody else does it, or, you have to spend a fortune to get this result. We're scrappy. We figure out ways to get around, and we do that through your helps, and we're so appreciative of that. We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, folks. It's Johnny Fusion.
Johnny Fusion. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah.
How you been?
It's been a while, but I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good. You don't sound happy about doing
Sounds
okay.
Like there's a but here.
Like Friday and yesterday, I spent a lot of time in the emergency department getting IV fluids because my creatinine is high. I'm dehydrated.
Oh boy!
So it's just I was sick Friday, and because I'm immunocompromised and kind of delicate, my transplant team always wants me to err on the side of caution and get checked out. So I'm a little tired from all the hospital this week.
Well, yeah, who wouldn't be? That sucks to hear that, but it sounds like you made it through okay.
Yeah, I mean, I never stayed overnight. They sent me home both times. They just want me to follow up and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But that's not why I'm calling.
Okay.
I'm calling because listening to the radio show, I thought it was really good this week. And the real enemy, one of you said, maybe this is bad legislation with, outlawing TikTok. But if we can get Congress just talking about surveillance capitalism, I think that might be a step in the right direction, because mm-hmm. surveillance capitalism is the driving force of why so much of the internet is crap now.
True, true. You never get them to say the phrase surveillance capitalism, though. they will refuse to do that. But if you can make it something else, like surveillance wokeism, maybe they'll buy into that. I don't know.
Oh, right. just let them know that liberals want to sell all the data, and then they'll crusade against it. They'll make it talking points, and then Democrats will capitulate like they always do, and we'll get something done.
Pretty much, yes.
Some of my articles, I've touched on surveillance capitalism, and it's wild how it came about. Because, I'm a long-time internet user. My first internet account was a shell account, right? Just basically, you got Linux commands or Unix commands, and Unix programs to get on IRC, to get on Usenet, to do your email, all from a terminal program. So that's kind of how old school I was. And I remember that first piece of spam on Usenet where someone was trying to sell green card services. And people were all up in arms. How dare you do something commercial on the internet? And look how far we've come. You know, I forget which administration it was, said, okay, we're going to open up the internet to business and figure out a way to have business interests on the internet. And, I mean, that was the beginning of the end of where we find ourselves now. Because for a long time, you know, during the dot-com boom and crash, people didn't know how to make money on the internet.
It's true. Yeah, it was for communication. It was educational. It was, you know, very idealistic. And a lot of the values that we have now came about through that, you know, supporting a freedom of speech and not having fees for every action that you take when communicating with people. That all comes about as a result of that. The prevalence of OSs like Linux and Unix-based systems. It's all because of the way the internet originally developed, and it's sad to see some of what it's become. I wonder if maybe we just need to have different networks that maybe, you know, exchange some information between them, but definitely have different philosophies in operation.
Well, people try that building on top of the internet. You know, like I've seen, like Mastodon is federated, right? And, you know, I mean, that was the original model of how things were done on the internet. Usenet was federated. Email is the oldest federated system we have. You know, so, like, the internet promoted decentralization, right? I mean, that's part of the hacker ethos, too, is not having things be centralized. And for something that was designed to be decentralized, it sure has a lot of centers to it now. Because what do you do when you go on the internet? You go on YouTube, you go on Facebook, you go on other social media, you know, that are owned by these, by billionaires. And there's, you know, and it, like I have my own websites and stuff, you know, it's, I'm just a little guy on the internet, you know, but because of how the internet's done, I'm like buried. Right? Because I'm just there writing words or sharing my ideas or sharing software or, you know, like I have a game that I did for Ludum Dare one jam. You know, I got all these nice little things on the internet, not making any money at all. But people just don't go to the internet to connect anymore. You know, it's these gated sites, you know, choked with algorithms to engage and enrage.
Yeah, I hear the kind of analysis, but it's, I mean, that there's so many different angles to where we've ended up and the emergence. I mean, even the early things like AOL, Prodigy, all those like early mass subscriber based sort of portals or whatever they were like walled in, and it's kind of, we're almost devolving to some of that, or as like E was suggesting, like, okay, well, we'll have different ways that maybe pass through one another. That's kind of funny because in the grander scheme, in a lot of international connectivity, that there's resistance to that, but there's also compelling difficulties with the connectedness and the ways that the networked society is being, how shall I say, abused by less than chill actors. So, we don't really want to cut off connections to other places because it's integrated into commerce and other things. But at the same time, we have to understand, like, pretty wide-eyed, like, the risks. And I go back to, like, the example of younger people being outraged that software they're using might go away. I can understand growing up in a world where the internet was always there, right? And the idea that something that would go away on the internet is like anathema to your idea of something that was never not there in the first place. And that you get really, really upset, especially when your social life has been commodified into one piece of software. And the idea that that company is being disrupted by the government and therefore cutting you off from your social life, I can understand the righteous indignation and where that all comes from. But it's like me getting mad at having paid for Microsoft Word like 20 times in my lifetime. You know, that just has happened to people with software, things that they've done over and over again as companies formed and reformed and transformed and stuff. Like, yeah, there's been plenty of business practices over the years that have screwed up, screwed over users, and had that captive subscriber base. And I think Cory Doctorow's talked about it already. He's characterized it. It's the switching cost, right? And so you have to, you know, suck it up and decide you're going to, like, do friends elsewhere or not, you know, go for the convenience of it being commodified in the way that's so convenient and fun. You know, there's fun ways of making friends. And I don't know. I find, as you've pointed out, it's getting crappier and crappier. I want to be online less and less, unless it's actually for real doing something like with my own site or with, you know, meaningful communication on the oldest federated protocol being email. And, you know, old school stuff, yeah, like technical stuff, yeah, but these kind of like bubblegum apps, like just stuff that feels fly by night, like I don't want my social life to be organized around that solely. And I think people who've been on the internet for a while, like we're even talking about it when we, and brands are really familiar with it. They're on like 10 platforms, and individuals are on 10 platforms or whatever, you know, like people may still be on X or Twitter and also on Mastodon and also on YouTube and also on Instagram and also on Facebook. They're on all of these things to get whoever is sort of there or active and not being hostile or otherwise like socializing. But the chaos of it, I think, is something we're being really conditioned to. And for a lot of people that also want to like live reality and are willing to make the effort, it's almost better to just not try to have your life be captive in software that way. I don't find that the affinity and the closeness and all of that is as strong as it's being sold to people. Like it's as shallow as we ever thought it was, I think, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, I mean, I can't judge everybody's networks. Maybe they're better at it or, you know, they're doing it the right way. Sure. I mean, that's fine, but, things change over time, and I think that people should get used to it. We've seen things fall apart, companies that make bad choices, and that happens. We've had Jason Scott talk about site after site and community after community, GeoCities. I don't know. There's so many examples of things that have been just imploded. I mean, I started on many different, like, we went through many different social media sites just to gain access to see what the buzz, like what people were talking about, to see how it works. And then you just abandon it. I can't even begin to talk about how many of those types of things that I've checked out and then abandoned just because it's not suiting me, not me personally.
I discovered, you know? I was on WhatsApp today. Apparently I opened an account years ago and forgot about it.
Yeah, so I think Dr. O has talked about this. I think, you know, to bring it back to Congress, like there could be legislation to uncrapify the internet. And one of the things would be to get rid of the cost of leaving. And you do that by making everything interoperable. You know, kind of like how telephones worked. Any telephone can call any other telephone. right? So yeah. You treat this like communications.
It's really hard. I mean, a lot of that stuff was opened up, and I mean, we found how that was used in, you know, political scandal, but in other ways, like, as soon as that opens up and it's used in ways the companies don't like, they cut it off. And I mean, the concept of like unified communications, you know, cross and inter-platform communications is a very real thing. And there are a lot of different ways you can connect divergent platforms, and many, you know, voice over IP and other kind of software milestones really made a lot more of that possible. But the willingness and the cooperation is, I think, the hard part, especially internationally and otherwise. It's a nice idea, but the companies want to be companies, and they benefit. They don't benefit as much when you're talking to other to users outside of it. And it's just, they have a product. They designed it with that life's, you know, it's to work this way. And they're very resistant, I in my opinion, to try to open up to different ways of doing things.
Well, you know, my personal solution to that is to remove the profit motive completely and dismantle capitalism.
Well, that's a tall order.
I don't think we have enough time for this hour.
Yeah. No,
but, yeah.
Strong resistance to that.
I get the temptation to go there. I'm an adult, so I mean, I definitely looked at that in my education and matriculation and so on. But it's kind of what's going on right now, and I think having more control over it would benefit us.
Sure, I'm idealist.
What would we do instead? I guess.
I'm idealist, but I'm also pragmatic. And I understand that capitalism is very entrenched right now, but the divine right of kings, like Ursula K. Le Guin said, that the divine right of kings was once so entrenched and thought impossible to get rid of.
Sure.
And we basically have. So, I mean, change is possible, but it'll
to
take
what,
a massive.
Though? To what? To what?
Well, capitalism was only invented like 600 years ago, in the blink of human history. In the span of human history, it's just an eye blink, you know. And basically, we have to have compassion-based politics, working for common good. A lot of it, maybe some more collectivism. You know, instead of everyone looking out for themselves and rewarding greed, instead have things be community-based.
Go ahead, Rob.
You know, I think there's something to be said for that, because, you know, we maybe can't dismantle capitalism, at least anytime soon, but you can choose in the to the extent that you want to have a social presence on the internet and find community over the internet, you can take the capitalism out of that by not using for-profit social media. I have been terminally online for decades now, and in one form or another, and I went to all the big sites, you know, hopped around them. Most of them I was on for a bit. I recently deleted my Twitter, finally. I deleted my Reddit account and some other stuff, and I realized not only does it feel a lot more like the old idealistic internet when I can find my social presence to mainly the Fediverse, federated stuff. I'm on Mastodon, I'm on Lemmy now, and a couple of smaller forums, and those are my daily drivers. And I realized not only is it a lot less aggravating, I'm not having algorithms trying to make me upset for clicks, I'm not having ads try to sell me things, and I just feel like better in general. And, you know, it's smaller than it was, but I liked it when it was smaller, and I'm having a good time. So there are ways to kind of modulate how much you want to participate in this world of sort of for-profit, toxic social media under the control of nutcases, and, you know, still find your way out there and find your community and find your people.
But
and I, so there are still good ways to do that.
Can I ask you, Rob, you deleted your Twitter account. Mm-hmm. Does that mean all of your tweets just are gone?
They are. I downloaded an archive, so I have them for historical reasons if I want them. They're also on archive.org and things like that. But they're no longer sitting out there contributing to shareholder value for a company that I no longer wanted to be propping up to the extent that my measly presence on there ever did.
Well, I mean, I understand that. I understand the thinking behind that. But wouldn't you just leaving and not participating also send a message without having to wipe out some of your history? Because, you know, these are your words. These are things you said, and people still deserve to read your thoughts and see your experiences. And how else would they get to do that?
This is true, and there is something to be said for that. And I did have to do some real hard thinking about it for quite a while before I took that step. I was basically, since the beginning of this year, not participating actively. And I didn't want to continue having my words being part of that. And yeah, maybe it's sad to lose all those years and years of history and amusing tweets and things I said to people that were enjoyed, and also friendships I made. There are people that I miss now because we had no other way of keeping in touch. But in the old days, everything was kind of ephemeral online. You were not expected to have something be out there as part of your history for public perusal forever. And I think maybe there was something lost in that. And so I'm embracing that in kind of a new way now.
Go ahead, Alex.
I think what Rob said is right on. And I think all this social media garbage is just incredibly toxic and harmful in general. I'll just take a broader view of it. But I wanted to say it's 10 to 1 here. I'm really flagging. I'm totally exhausted. It's been a long day, so I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
And just when your internet started working.
Yeah, I didn't get cut off. Are we on next week?
Last I checked, we were, yes.
Okay, all right, good. Well, then I will see everybody next week because I need to go to bed desperately.
All right.
I'm very much flagging here. So good night, everybody. It was great to see everyone and to hear from everybody. And I look forward to next week.
All right, everyone say goodnight to Alex here. Goodnight, Alex.
Goodnight.
Good night, everybody.
See you next time. Sleep well.
See you then. I will. I hope.
All right. Bye. And that was Alex. Okay, Johnny, we're going to move on. Any final thoughts from you?
Just one. You know, there is a reason why people use social media. Is that, you know, that's where everyone is. And when I was dying, like I couldn't leave the house. I was on oxygen and stuff. So, like, Facebook was the way I kept in touch with my real-life social circle, mm-hmm. you know, because that's where all my real-life and my oldest social circle was. So, I mean, it's like a double-edged sword, and we got to think about the people that would otherwise be isolated without social media.
No, it can be a godsend in certain situations, but it can also, you know, be a heavy anchor when you don't want one. In other situations, it becomes a crutch when, you know, you should be out doing other things. But again, keeping in touch with people, yeah, there's definitely a good to it. There's no question about that.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. And I'll hang up and we can go to the next caller.
All right. Good hearing from you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Take care. And our phone number, 802-321-4225. I imagine this will probably be the last call. So whoever is calling now, that will be your legacy tonight, is to be the last call. 802-321-4225, country code 1. And that toll-free number again, Rob?
That toll-free number again is 833-755-2600.
I can remember the last part. I can't remember the rest. One day. Or I could just write it down, I suppose. All right, sounds like we have another phone call. Do we, in fact, have a phone call, Kyle? Okay. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening. I called a minute ago, but I felt like I needed to call back. Talking about the de-shitification of the internet,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, you know, kind of remind people of CDC's project they're working on. It's still kind of a baby. It hasn't, you know, bore much fruit yet, but Valid.
Yes, Valid.
Seems pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And also, I just wanted to drop a little piece of news that came out on the 11th that I didn't see anywhere cover whatsoever, and I thought it was pretty crazy.
Okay.
But a group, Siege Sec, they hacked Air Asia, and like they already dumped all of their source code and a ton of private information.
Oh, dear.
I didn't see that anywhere.
Like, probably because there's so many stories like that. There's probably so many stories like that of companies being hacked.
Very true. But, yeah,
so all their data has been exposed, or is it ransomware? What exactly?
They've dumped it to the public. They have a Telegram channel. I'm not going to mention it, mm-hmm. but they said it's 2.2 gigs of data for AirAsia, the source code and private information. I'm assuming including customers. It kind of freaked me out because I was just flying AirAsia, but yeah.
Wow.
To bring that up.
You never know what's going to be compromised next.
Nope.
All right.
Everything will be.
Sure. All right.
Have a good night.
Thanks for the update. And technically, that's not another call because the person called the second time. So, okay, we'll open it up because legally we would be on the hook for this. 802-321-4225. So call if you haven't called before, and it will count as a new call, and that'll be the last call for tonight. 802-321-HACK. Or 833. I'm going to get it out. 399? No?
755.
No, there's a 3 in there somewhere. Really?
No, it's 833.
Those are the 3s then. Okay.
Those are the 3s, yeah.
755-2600.
If you say so. All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you? This is like the old days.
Is it like the old days?
Yeah, it's like going back to the 90s and the 80s. The name is Howard. You got to have the Hope thing in my backyard over St. John's.
Yes, Hope is, if you're in Queens, I guess it is in your backyard.
Well, I'm about a mile and a half away, over near the LIE.
That is awesome.
What day is it?
I'm sorry?
The 12th, 12th through the 14th of July.
Yes.
July 12th and 14th?
Uh-huh. Through the 14th, yeah, that weekend.
Wow, can't wait to come over there.
Please do.
Right across from the old bar, the Sly Fox.
Uh-huh. No, that's amazing because, you know, we find Queens to be such a cool place to be in, and there's just so much to do, and it's the buses work really well in Queens. They get you everywhere you need to go.
Well, you can only, yeah, and I also have a repeat. I'm a ham.
Oh, wow.
I'm a ham operator.
Okay. Well, I know we're going to have ham talks, and I think a village or a table of what's the word I'm looking for? Workshop, ham workshop. So if you want to get involved in that, by all means, write to us and we'll happily.
Well, I've been involved that many years. Listen, before we end this call,
mm-hmm.
You guys still have the Friday night get-togethers? You used to have it at Citibank. Where is it these days?
It's the same exact place. It's just the building is now called Citigroup, and it's the first Friday of every month from about 5 to about 8, or actually it goes beyond that. Gila, did you have something to add to that?
First of all, it's now called the Hue. Like the food court is called the Hue,
the
and it's awesome.
The food court is called that, but the building is still Citigroup.
Yes, the building is Citicorp, but yes. Yeah. We do have a question if the caller could identify themselves.
Your call sign.
Yeah, give me my call sign, my name. I don't care. WB2HWW. My name is Howard.
Awesome. Wow. How long have you been a ham for?
Well, in D.C., I got licensed in 1967. That's when I first got licensed. I'm 69, so I'm an old fart.
Wow, that is so awesome.
I was around when telephones ran on Crossbar 1 and Crossbar 5.
You remember Crossbar 5? Wow, I just it was better then. I'm sorry, it sounded better. It sounded so much better.
Oh, it did. I was in an office that was on 164th Street. It was the office that they used for the World's Fair, and then they gave it to they gave it over to the Queens area. Now it's no longer there. Now it's all internet.
Uh-huh.
They decided to get rid of copper. No more pop.
I know. It's terrible. Remember how the ringtone sounded different for every central office, whether it was a 1 or a 5. Now everything sounds the same.
Yeah, no more 2600. You can't blow the phone lines off anymore.
Nope, that does not work anymore.
No more black boxes with a relay or a neon bulb, and you just got a free phone call.
Uh-huh. So how has the ham community changed since 1967?
Well, now it's very fragmented. Everybody's using voice over IP, people using, digital modes these days. This doesn't sound as good. They do like good old analog audio, not the digital crap.
Uh-huh. Sounds like the same thing.
But I got voice over IP. Hey, I got a repeater over on, I got a repeater on 440, a big repeater. Can make it from the, from that school, from the Hope Convention, with 100 milliwatts.
Well, you know, if you want to show that off, we can definitely set you up at the conference if you're interested.
I'll be coming around. I can't wait to see this and probably come down. I remember with the Q guys in the 80s and 90s on WBAI.
Uh-huh.
So now you're on Wednesday. I thought you guys had left BAI for a while.
No, we pretty much have been around for the duration. So every Wednesday at 7.
Every Wednesday at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll start listening again, because that's how I found you tonight.
Wow, great.
I didn't know you guys had a YouTube.
Uh-huh.
I finally listened to you guys on YouTube. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we get around, you know. And please visit hope.net, get more information about the conference, and we all look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, well, July will be coming around pretty soon.
I know. Really, really soon. It's scary.
You have all the guys in the black coats and the black cars trying to figure out what everybody's up to.
Yep, they're starting already. All right, Howard, great hearing from you. Thanks for calling.
Been a pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Wow, that's awesome. Ham from 1967, Howard.
That was great. That call made me so happy.
Yeah. And we're going to do ham radio stuff. So let's get that organized. Keep checking in, hope.net, for more details.
Come one, come all.
Yeah. We have our hotel updates today. We're going to have more info on the venue, and some of the talks will be announced fairly soon as well. But we still have many openings for more talks, panels, workshops, villages, demonstrations, performances, displays, whatever you can think of. We have space, we have talent, we have a lot of people who are really into this. So visit hope.net, and plenty of links to click on to contact us or to get involved. Any final words before we sign off for the night?
Seriously, if there is someone you know or love or are who menstruates, pocket calendar and a felt tip pen.
You want to set up a table at Hope and we can just hand those out.
No problem there.
We could.
Yeah. No, get a ton of pocket calendars. It'll be great. And want to again thank the 50 people who have hung in with us for the last hour. The chat is always fun. It was very lively this evening. Thanks to the new faces who are with us tonight, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Good night, everybody.